Hello, Philip Dewberry from Addison Baptist Church. I've got another lesson for you this Sunday about somebody who had to do some waiting. I know we've been doing some waiting these last several weeks. Hopefully we won't have to do too much more waiting. We'll see how things go. Maybe things will start opening back up soon. Maybe we'll even get to come back to church pretty soon. We'll have to see how it all works out. All right, so today we're going to be in the book of Esther. I'll write that up here. Esther had to do some waiting, we'll talk about. It's a little bit different than some of the other ones, but if you're not familiar with the story of Esther, I recommend that you take some time and read it. It's a pretty short book in the Bible, but it's very exciting, a very exciting story. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Let's kind of get into just kind of the short version of it. So Esther and her older cousin is named Mordecai. And they're Jewish, and they're living in Persia. So this is after the children of Israel have been captured from their land, taken away from their land. They're in exile. And here they are, stuck in a foreign land. And it turns out that Esther is going to be chosen to be the queen. So let's draw her. She's got crown on, and flowing gown. This is very beautiful. Okay, there we go. Probably has some, maybe some jewelry on. Jewelry sparkling. Okay. All right, so that is Queen Esther. And nobody knows that she's Jewish, but that will figure into the story significantly as we go along. So she's been selected as the queen. And she gets word from her cousin Mordecai about a terrible plot that has been put in motion by this this bad guy. This is going to be her cousin here. He's older than she is. He's kind of taking care of her because her parents are not around anymore. He's got this letter. So he's got this royal command that has been proclaimed from the palace. And the proclamation is that all the Jews are going to be killed in all of Persia. All across the empire, all the Jews are going to be killed on this certain day, and it'll be legal to go and kill them and take their stuff. That's the law. Obviously, that'd be a terrifying law if you were Jewish. And so he says, Esther, you're the queen. You can do something about this. And so he sends her word at the palace and through some messengers. And so that picks us up to what Esther replies. Esther speaks to her messenger, and here's the message. All of the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law, to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. All right, so she is a little bit hesitant about this. She doesn't want to go to the, you can't just walk into the king's room. That's kind of the way it is with, you can't just barge into the White House and see the president or go into the mayor's house and see, you have to make an appointment and they have to actually want you to be there. All these world leaders, they're very busy, and even for the queen. So here this, the king in Persia, King Ahasuerus, is a busy guy and doesn't want to be disturbed. So it's dangerous if you just burst in there and say, hey, king, I got a question. You could be put to death. That's how bad he didn't want to be annoyed. let me see if I can draw him. Here's Persian guy, so he's got one of those cool Persian beards. And he's sitting down on his throne. I'm sure it was a nicer throne than this one. And he's holding out this golden scepter. It's sort of like what he uses to make his rulings and make him look powerful. So there he is. So Esther says, look, if you walk in there and he doesn't hold out that golden scepter, you're done. And so she says, I don't know, Mordecai, I don't think I can do that. I know I'm the queen and all, but I mean, maybe there's another way. So here's what Mordecai says. They told Mordecai what Esther said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. That's right, you're a Jew too. And you will also be killed if they find out, and they will. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, that's the capital of the Persian Empire then, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. All right, so here they are. So she's got to decide, okay, do I go in there and disturb him, or do I just keep quiet and maybe it'll all work out and we won't have to worry about it? But basically, I'm risking my life to go in there. And so she says, all right, well, for 3 days, we're going to think about this and we're going to fast. That means we're not going to eat or drink. Well, I don't know if you've ever done that before, but not eating or drinking for 3 days is pretty serious business. And this was pretty serious business. She was about to risk her life. And if she failed, all of the Jewish people would be killed. So a lot was riding on this. So here she is. She's waiting these 3 days. Why is she waiting for these 3 days? That's what I want to talk about. So it's not as if she's waiting for something to happen. She's waiting to do something. She's waiting on purpose. Now, a lot of our waiting is just forced upon us, and we just have to sit and wait it out. But she's making the choice. I'm not going to do this yet. I'm going to wait for 3 days. And maybe there's some good things about that. So what's she doing during that time? Well, she's not eating or drinking, so she's really concentrating and thinking about this moment that's coming up and how that's going to play out. So she's thinking about it a lot. And really concentrating. I'm sure she is. She's praying during this time also. That's sort of implied. If you're fasting, you're also praying. And so they're praying to God, asking God to help them, asking that the king would spare her, or things would work out. And really what they're trying to do is maybe trying to see things from God's point of view. See, a lot of times we want God to help us with our plans, but what really needs to happen is we need to help God with his plan. So we have to sort of figure out what God's plan is and then try to help him with his plan and try to do what God wants us to do. Now, sometimes our plans and God's plans are pretty close together, but we don't really have any guarantees. So she's thinking, she's praying, and then she's trusting. So finally, at the end, she's got herself ready to go, and she's made up her mind, and she's going to walk in. And a little spoiler alert, she walks in, and he does. He holds out the golden scepter, and she's pretty smart. She's had some time to think about this, so she doesn't just blurt it all out and say, hey, well, the Jews are going to be killed. And she invites him to a banquet, and he's like, oh, well, this is great. I love going to banquets. And then the next night, after the banquet, he says, all right, so what do you want? She says, well, I want you to come to another banquet. Oh, okay. All right. So he comes to the other banquet, and then finally he's like, come on, Esther, I know you want something. I'll give you whatever you want. Tell me what it is. And so now he's ready to actually listen to her. And so at that point, she tells him what's going on, and the Jewish people are saved, and the bad guy is done away with. But we won't get into that too much. There's too many spoilers about that. So you check that out and see how that all works out in the book of Esther. But anyway, so we can read this story, and we can think, oh, well, so if you fast and you pray for 3 days, then that means God has to do what you ask. He has to listen to your request. And that's not exactly the lesson here. She didn't know if God was going to listen to her request or not. She didn't know what was going to happen when she walked in there. He could have been in a bad mood that day, and he could have just said, nope, I'm done with her. I'll go find a new queen. That's basically what happened to his first queen, so it could happen to her too. But God was working something, and that's what Mordecai said. Mordecai said, you don't know what God's doing here. Maybe God is working something out, and you don't even know it. Maybe you're a part of it. And so, you know, what does this have to do with our current predicament? You know, we're here in the midst of pandemic. What is God doing with all of this pandemic and sickness? There's been a lot of discussion about, well, you know, is this God trying to punish people, or is God trying to get our attention, or whatever? I think the answer is going to be different for everybody. You know, maybe in your situation, with your particular group of friends or your neighborhood or the people that you have influence with or your family, maybe God is doing something a little bit different with you than he is with me or somebody else. And so I think if you're a follower of Jesus, then you need to try to figure out, well, what are my opportunities here? What is God letting me do that I don't normally get to do? What are some things that are happening that are kind of unusual? What are some things that I need to be praying about that maybe are possible now? Or what do I wish would happen? And maybe that would somehow be a part of God's plan too. Trying to look at it from God's perspective a little bit. And God wants us to be loving to other people. And he's always working a plan. He's got all kinds of plans going. And it'd be good to try to maybe think about what that is. And don't just immediately assume that God's just going to help you with your plan, but you know, maybe God will let you get in on his plan. And I think he will. So that's a little bit about waiting on purpose, and I think this could be a time of waiting on purpose, even though we have to wait anyway. But maybe part of this waiting could be done on purpose, and maybe we could find some purpose in what God is doing in our lives during this time. All right, well, that'll be it for today, and I hope you have a good day of worship, and maybe you can sing some songs or do some other things like that today. And we will see you next time. So God bless you.